Hallelujah. Aren't you thankful he's alive? Hallelujah. He conquered death, hell, and the grave. And he became the first fruits of them that slept. And with that, we have hope. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Boy, I tell you what, if you don't have that hope right now, you're in the right place. Hallelujah. You're in the right place for something to happen wonderful in your life. You can leave this place changed. Hallelujah. A changed person. Amen. We don't have to leave the way that we came into this place today. There's enough power here. Hallelujah. Oh, you need something from God? You can get it today. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. We're in the right place. Hallelujah. It's not an accident that you're here this afternoon. Not at all. This is God's plan for you. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. What a beautiful song. I tell you what, I couldn't have picked out any of those songs any better than you did, because they went right along with what God has given me for today. Amen. In fact, this whole service, I could have just gave you my notes. All right? I could have just gave you my notes. And you guys could have done it. Hallelujah. While you're standing, let's just go before the Lord together in prayer. I need God's anointing, and you need God's anointing also. You need to have your ears anointed, your heart anointed to receive His word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, your word is already anointed. God, it's going to do exactly, God, what you meant for it to do today. God, I need your anointing today. Lord, the church needs your anointing. Hallelujah. God, let my words be your words. Hallelujah. And God, we'll always be thankful. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Well, I miss Pastor. I don't know about you all. When he's not here, I miss Pastor. But we're so thankful that he can leave and go on vacation, and we've got capable men of God that can take care of services and make sure that the flock of God is fed. Hallelujah. We're so thankful. Thankful for the ministry team here today. Brother Justin just did a wonderful job on that lesson. Amen. He could have just went on. Amen. How many of us in here know what hope means? What is the definition of hope? Hope is unforeseen expectation. Hallelujah. How many has ever seen the ocean? How many has never seen the ocean? Okay, there's an ocean, brother, and it is beautiful to see. When you stand there on the beach, we were in the Gulf in Sarasota several years ago, and we just stood there, my wife and I did, and we just watched the sun, and the ocean just swallowed it up as it was setting. It was the most beautiful sight. I can still see all of those colors that was just so vivid that evening. And it was just a wonderful thing to see. And then we went to California, which I wouldn't advise you to do. But we did. We went to California, and we stood there on the beach and just watched the waves. And I tried surfing. I advise you not to do that either. I got some real funny video. I know my wife enjoyed it as she tried to see me get on that board. It was pretty comical. But anyway, it was just a beautiful, beautiful thing to behold. And I'm going to tell you, it feels so small when you're standing there and looking at God's glory. Amen. And that's what hope is. Hope is you've never seen the ocean, but you know it exists. Hey, I've never been to heaven. I've never walked on streets of gold. Man's most powerful, most valuable thing, we're going to walk on it. It's going to be pavement. I've never seen the rainbows in vivid color as it is talked about in Revelation at the throne room of God. Oh, but I know it exists. I've never seen the crystal sea, but it exists. Walls, pearls, jasper, you name it, all of it is there. Hallelujah. And one of these days, I hope I'm exciting you. I'm hoping you're packing your bags right now. I'm hoping right now that you got your toothbrush and that you got your toothpaste. You're not going to need that, by the way. But you're getting ready. Amen. You're getting ready to go. And that is the hope of the church. That's what I want to preach, teach, treach today, is what is the hope of the church. Hey, guys, we're going to get out of here. Hallelujah. That should excite you. We're getting out of here. You got your ticket? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Got your ticket and you're ready to go. Full of the Holy Ghost. Living an overcoming life. Hallelujah. That's your ticket. You're ready to go. The Apostle Paul says it like this. If we have hope in this life only, we are of all men most miserable. If this is our lot in life, if this is what our hope is, I seen Brother Justin ask for hands on that Monday morning. You know what I'm talking about. It's time to do the thing, isn't it? It's time to make the donuts. It's time to get up. It's time to get to the jobs. It's time to step behind the computer and just write purchase orders all day. It's time to pick up the phone and listen to people complain they're not getting paid when they want to get paid. Yeah. Owens Corning is a big company, and they're net 100. That's their standard payment. Yeah. Net 30 is a thing of the past. Nobody does net 30 anymore. That's right. You guys do net 30? Net 15, you wouldn't last at Owens. You wouldn't be on our vendor list. But that's 100 days from the day of invoice you get paid. All right? That's not our hope. The Apostle Paul said, if that is our hope, we are of all men most miserable. But I'm going to tell you something right now, saints, and we're going to get into the word here just in a few. But there are so many things that grab our attention, that deaden that hope in our hearts and in our lives. And we're going to talk a little bit about that. I think, and everybody's got one of these, don't they? It's an iPhone. Where's he at? Oh, there he is. He doesn't have one. He's got an Android. We had this discussion right before church. Yeah, we had this discussion. So I got an iPhone. But this is the first thing we look at when we get up in the morning. It is the last thing we look at before we go to bed. It is the thing that consumes our life. Do you realize that 7.5 hours in a day's time you use, you're viewing media? Whether that's listening, viewing it, you are consuming 7.5 hours of media, some of us more. I sit in front of a laptop for 10 hours a day. And guess what? We've got this little neat thing on here called notifications. So just in case you forget it, it lets you know it's still there. Ding, ding. Oh, I got a text. Bing, bing. Oh, I got a Facebook post. I wonder what they're doing today. No, you're not there, are you? No, we are there. That's exactly where we are. On average, we're going to get to the message in a minute, but I'm just doing a, we're going to get this plane off the ground here just in a few. I'm taking a taxi down the runway. On average, the average human takes in 34 gigabytes of information a day. 34 gigabytes of information on a laptop is going to seize it up pretty quick. And we do this in one day. We take in 105,000 words a day. That's 23 words every second. We overload our brain. There's no time to calm down. There's no time to sit and just stop. We are always thinking, doing something, reading media, doing something. Now, I'm going to tell you something right now. Pick out your favorite ice cream. You got it? I'm Rocky Road. Okay? It's in the freezer right now. The door is closed, and it's staying cold. Go home, put your favorite ice cream in the freezer, and then open the refrigerator door, the freezer door. Because that's exactly what you're doing with your brain. We don't shut down. It works harder to keep things colder. God never meant for us to have our attention so drawn out into left field that we don't know where he's at. The hope of the church is not getting our tent stakes down deeper. The hope of the church is letting go of this world. The hope of the church is being ready to see Jesus. That's the hope of the church. Now, I'm not saying this to get us down because we don't. No, this is a joyous. In fact, the Bible says, comfort one another with these words. We're going to get out of here. Hallelujah. I'm going home. Well, we better break the word open, hadn't we? I guess we have already, haven't we? Just in a different way. We first see this hope, really, in Acts. That's where the church is born, isn't it? So Luke is talking about this. And Luke chapter 8, or Acts chapter 1, starting reading at verse number 4. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait. Now, that's not sitting on our hands waiting. That is being productive waiting. For the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Verse 6. Then they therefore were come together, they ask of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times. Now let's take a little bit of a pause there. Brother Chandler and I was speaking several weeks ago at the men's conference. I had a great time at the men's conference. What a powerful time that we had. And it was just great to get together in fellowship with all the brethren. It just so happens that Brother Chandler and I had a room together, and we just had a great time just speaking the Word of God. And this was the very thing that Brother Chandler and I was talking about, was the coming of God. And it's not, we don't know the time that Jesus is going to come back again, but he gives us plenty of things to look for in seasons and times so that we know that his return is very soon. And I'm going to tell you, I don't think it's coincidence that the world is in the way it is today. I don't know how many of you, I know Sister Hughes is back, that she's in sourcing, she's in the supply chain. I work in supply chain, and I have never in all the years that I have worked in supply chain, which is about 22 years, have ever seen the economy like it is today. 2007 was tough. But I'm going to tell you, it's bad. I could still get 304 stainless steel in 2007, and I could still get carbon steel in 2007. But I'm going to tell you, it is difficult. 301 stainless steel, forget it. You're not going to get it. 304 stainless steel, you're not going to get it. Everything has gone up. I've never seen prices for standard carbon steel as expensive as it is. We see our gas price, they're gone up. I mean, we did enjoy that $2 gallon of gas, didn't we? And then it gets up there to $4.18 now, I believe it is, in Wabash. We come to Warsaw, get our gas. So I'll fill up before I leave Warsaw today. But I mean, it's awful out there, you know. And so I'm not painting this gloom, doom, despair, but I'm just telling you reality. I mean, I get on this to take a look at my portfolio. And I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, wow, I'm supposed to retire next August. And I'm thinking, Lord, let this thing go up, you know. Let this thing go up. But I mean, it's in a space of 3-4 weeks, I lost $40,000. And it's not hard to do when the economy is as it is. Our economy is so fragile right now. So fragile. So, I mean, and I'm not saying that to get you guys scared or anything. I just want you to know that this isn't our hope. If God comes back today, I'm okay with that. How about you all? I'm all right with it. I feel good about that. I don't care to spend all that money that I have saved up in my 401. I'll just go to heaven. I'll walk on streets of gold. How about that? I'll go where there's no more tears. I'll go where there's no more pain. Hallelujah. That's my hope. Well, we better read. And he said unto him, for you know not the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power. Power. That's ability. That's what that word power means. It means ability. The ability to what? To endure to the end. Amen? He's given us power. After that the Holy Ghost is come up on ye to be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoke these things, while they beheld, he was taken up. He became the first fruits of those who slept. Because he's alive, we are alive. Because he rose from the dead and he has the empty tomb, you and I have that hope today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to grab a hold of that. I tell you what, I'm just going to wear that for a while. And taken up, and in a cloud received him out of their sight. Now, catch this. This is our hope. And while they looked steadfast toward heaven, and he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Warsaw, that's you two ladies, ye men of Indiana, now Galilee, why stand here gazing unto heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall what? Come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. They were so convinced, the early church was so convinced that Jesus Christ was coming back that time, that day, that they sold all of their possessions and they gave it to the church and they just was waiting on Jesus to come back for them. In fact, the Apostle Paul had to take up an offering for the poor church in Jerusalem. Amen. Read it. They were all on fire about Jesus coming back. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I got into this. In fact, I just had a birthday. A birthday in Jesus. 1975, on Easter Sunday, I received the gift of the Holy Ghost and was baptized in his name. I could take you back to that little white church on Mill Street. I can show you where I was at. There was five of us right down the row. Bam, Holy Ghost hit. Bam, Holy Ghost hit. All the way down. Five of us young people got the Holy Ghost. One has gone on to be with the Lord. It's just me and one other that's living for Christ today. I got hope. I've held on to hope. Amen. But five of us got the Holy Ghost right there, right down the row in that church in 1975. Now, I'm going to tell you, 1970s, we knew God was coming back. There was nothing worse in the world. We thought that was the worst the world could ever get in the 70s. Well, the world proved us wrong. I can tell you that right now. Some of the things that came out of the closet should have stayed in the closet. We're being taped, aren't we? I didn't mean to say that out loud. No, I did mean to say it out loud. But we thought, oh man, we thought Jesus was coming back in the 80s. 80 reasons why Jesus can come back today in the 80s. Do you remember that? Oh, we remember. We had pamphlets on it. And then we thought the 90s Jesus was coming back. And here we are, 2000. I remember 2000 when it clicked over. We thought for sure the computers were shutting down. The world was, that's it. The world is upside down. We're going to lose our electric, our gas, everything, because everything is on the computers. In fact, I remember my boss was like, okay, Mike, let's get some generators in here. We did. I rented generators, gasoline generators. Let's get some generators in here. Hey, Mike, I need you to back up every one of our CAD files on disk. So I did. I had to back up every one of our CAD files on disk and save those disks because we thought that was floppy disks back then. Yeah. There's no such thing as that today, is there? No, we got a memory card. We just plug that puppy in there and we're good to go. So I backed up every one of our prints on floppy disks, and we had all of our AutoCAD disks on floppy, or all of our AutoCAD drawings on floppy disks, because we just knew that the world was going to crash, and that, guess what? Jesus is coming back, and boy, we were so ready for it. Amen. It's 2022. He's not here yet. Oh, come on, let's don't lose hope. Right there, hope of the church, unforeseen expectation. Come on, we need to get in the book, and we need to get our, where's the fork? The fork. We need to get ready. Amen. It's no time for us not to get ready for his soon appearing. Amen. I'm going to take you to Matthew. Matthew chapter 24, I'm going to start looking at verse 3. And he sat upon the Mount of Olives. The disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? And Jesus said unto them, take heed. Okay. That's the first thing. Take heed. In other words, wake up. Take heed. Listen to what I'm saying. Open up your ears because something important is about to happen. Let no man deceive you. Now, that word deceive is a kind of a funny word. And what that word means is not to wander away. Don't wander away. Kind of different from what we would think deceive would be, right? For me, anyway. But the Greek word there is not to wander away or go astray. Go astray. So I'm going somewhere with this, because I think a lot of times what happens is we lose and we go astray. It's not wrong. I mean, the things that we're involved in, I don't think there's anything wrong with golfing. I don't think there's anything wrong with the iPhone. I don't think there's anything wrong with being productive. But there's something wrong when we forget where our hope is and why we got into this. I don't know about you, but I was sinful. I was sinful. I was a mess when I got into the church. And I'm talking into the church. I received the Holy Ghost when I was 12 years old. But like every other person, every young person, I'm going to talk to the young people. It's not worth it. Hang on to your hope. It's not worth it. The world will chew you up and spit you out. It only took me 3 years to mess my life up to the point to where I was on my way to prison. I was sitting in a jail cell waiting to be sentenced as an adult. It only takes just a little bit of time. The devil will show you something and he'll say, I'll give you all of this. Come on, you got the greatest thing this side of heaven right now in your possession. Hallelujah. I want us to keep that in mind. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye not be troubled. Don't be anxiety. Don't have anxiety. Hang on to the hope that you have. For these things must come to pass, and then the end is not yet. Now, I'm going to jump down a couple of scriptures because I want you to hear something that Matthew says. Matthew gives us a couple of things here that helps us to understand a position that we should be in, okay? Matthew tells us not to be troubled, but Matthew tells us to look up. That's what he says. To look up. And he also tells us to lift up our heads. To look up and lift our heads. That's two positions. Okay? I can look at you and I can focus. Okay? But for me to lift up my head puts me in a position of readiness. So Matthew gives us two positions of readiness. And that is one, you need to look up. When you see all of this happening, you need to look up because your redemption draweth nigh. He said, look up, and the word and there can be, could be substituted for that word and. So look up, even lift your heads because your redemption draweth nigh. Now, I'm going to give you a lesson in martial arts today. How's that? In order to put the sword on, okay? Because this is called an obi. And this is called a katana. Now the katana has two edges, okay? You don't want to try to slice with this edge. It's called the dead edge. This edge is called the live edge. Okay, that's the working side. So, when you don this, you don't don it like this, because that's the live edge down. The dead edge is on top. So you gotta know how to put this thing on before you even start to wield it. Now, I'm gonna tell you, the Word of God has given us so many things. What about the helmet of salvation, or the hope of salvation, is what Paul says. The breastplate of righteousness, the sword of the Spirit, our feet shod and ready to go. Those are those things that God has given us to help us to be ready. So when you put this on, you got to put it on a certain way, with the live side up. Now, the two positions. If I come up there and I just stare at you in the eye, I'm not a threat, am I? You don't feel a threat, do you? But this is called kimei. Kimei means to focus in Japanese. Now, I can stand, I can focus. In fact, I'm going to tell you, I teach martial arts too. This isn't a, I'm not trying to advertise for more students, because I got enough. So I teach students, I teach children. I got huge children's classes, And I'm going to tell you, it is a chore to keep a five-year-old child keep their attention for an hour. I'm going to tell you, it's difficult to keep an adult their attention for an hour. In fact, I joke you not, I'm on the decks Friday, and I'm teaching my intermediate class. I got a nine-year-old boy that comes up to me, and he says, "Sensei." Sensei means teacher or instructor in Japanese. "Sensei, I'm going to get off the deck. I've got to go shut my phone off so I don't get any notifications while I'm on the deck." I'm like, 9 years old. 9 years old. And he's asking me, can I shut my iPhone? His iPhone down so he doesn't get notifications while he's in class. And I'm thinking, wow, if that's not distraction, I don't know what is. If that's not being tied at the hip at a phone with a phone, I don't know what is. We're doing it at an early age. It's a generational thing, Brother Landon.
Yeah.
Now, if I stand here like this, I'm not a threat. But if I grab this, and I do this, and I go like this here, and I open that, I'm a threat. This is looking up. I can look up, I see the ceiling right now. But this is raising up my head. I'm in a posture ready to receive, is what I am in. I want to encourage you to do more than just look up. I want you to get yourself in a posture of readiness. I'm ready to go, Father. Today is the day. I love this. At the end of Passover, the Jews had a saying, next year in Jerusalem. Next year in Jerusalem. That's our hope, saints. Next year in Jerusalem. We may not make it back next Sunday. We may be in New Jerusalem.
Hallelujah.
Next year in Jerusalem. That's the hope of the church. We leave this place today, next year in Jerusalem. I'll see you in heaven. Hallelujah. Next year in Jerusalem. Now, I ought to just have Brother Iggy read it. He probably knows it. There was a young woman who had been diagnosed with a terminal illness and had been given 3 months to live. So as she was getting her things in order, she contacted her pastor and had him come to her house to discuss certain aspects of her final wishes. She told him the songs, which songs she wanted sung at the service, which scriptures she wanted him to read, which outfit she wanted to be buried in. Everything was in order, and the pastor was preparing to leave when the young lady suddenly remembered something very important to her. She said, "Stop. There's one more thing," she said excitedly. "What's that?" came the pastor's reply. "This is very important," the young lady continued. "I want to be buried with a fork in my right hand." The pastor stood looking at the young woman, not knowing quite what to say. I think we would too. What? That surprise you, doesn't it?" the young woman asked. "Well, to be honest, I'm puzzled by your request," said the pastor. The young woman explained, "My grandmother once told me this story, and from that time on, I have always tried to pass along this message to those I love and those who are in need of encouragement. In all my years of attending socials and dinners, I always remembered that when the dishes of the main course were being cleared, someone would evidently lean over and say, keep your fork. It was my favorite part because I knew something better was coming. Velvet cake, cheesecake, peanut butter pie. That's what was coming. Chocolate cake or that deep dish apple pie. Something wonderful with substance. So I just want people to see me there in the casket with a fork in my right hand. I want them to wonder, what's with the fork? Then I want you to tell them, keep your fork. Something better's coming. Keep your fork. Something better's coming. Hallelujah. Something better is coming. Now, I would be amiss if I didn't read this, so I'm going to go ahead and do this. And that is in 1 Thessalonians. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. For ye, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. I'm going to see my grandma. I'm going to get to walk on streets of gold with my grandma. Pioneer of this faith. Hallelujah. We all have loved ones that we have seen go on. Sister Bryant. What a faithful, faithful lady of God. We're going to see him again. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which are asleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Note that they're asleep in the Lord. For the Lord himself, get ready, buckle up. Here we go. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. Ain't no grave gonna hold my body down when I hear that trumpet sound. Woo! What's that song? In that great getting up morning. Farewell, farewell. In that great getting up morning. Don't you weep for me when I'm gone. Because I'm not going to leave alone. For when I hear that trumpet sound, my feet is going to leave the ground. Hallelujah. Wow. May have to get Brother Randy on that piano over there. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with the shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Now listen. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be what? Caught up. Caught up. Oh. Caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Brother Merchant, we're getting out of here, man. We're getting out of here. We're going home. We're going home. We're going home. Hallelujah. We're leaving this place. Hallelujah. Wherefore, comfort one another. When we walk into these doors back here, we should be saying, hey, guess what? We're going home. Hallelujah. What are you going to do when you get to heaven first? Should be like giddy school kids. What are you going to do first? Hallelujah. I'm going to run and shout. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's hold on to that hope. Do not let that hope diminish at all. I'm going to tell you, the Bible talks about 10 virgins. 5 were foolish and 5 were wise. I'm going to tell you, they all had lamps. They were all virgins. That means they qualified for marriage. They were pure. They all had oil in their lamps. They all knew how to trim the wick. You don't trim that wick, you get a dull light. And I'm going to tell you, it smokes awful too. But when you trim that light or that wick, and you adjust that wick just right, with that chimney on there, you're going to get a lot of light. The one thing that separated all of them was those wise. They took oil with their lamps. Amen. Let's all just stay full of the Holy Ghost. Will you say? Let's stay full of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Let's all stand, Brother Randy, if you'll help me. The hope of the church. Let's keep that hope ever so bright. Let us keep that in the forefront and not allow things to diminish the hope that we have in the church. The hope that we have that we're going to get out of here one of these days. Hallelujah. 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 Somebody's going to close for me, but we're going to sing a couple songs. And this altar has always been open. It never closes, by the way. You're not out of order to come down here and get something from God. I'm going to tell you, the pastor would tell us the same thing. Pastor Chandler would say, no, this right here is the hope. If you don't have that hope this afternoon, then I'm going to tell you right now, you need to get that hope. Hallelujah. You need to get ready to go. If that hope is kind of dwindled down or diminished any at all, here's where you get that charge. Here's where you're going to learn to look up and get your head lifting up. Get your eyes on Jesus and get it off the world. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, yes. Hold on a second. There's only going to be 30 minutes of silence in heaven. Did you know that? That's it. 30 minutes of silence. And it's going to be a time where we're going to be happy, rejoicing. I'm going to tell you, I don't think that any of us will be really shy when we get over on the other side. I think all of us are going to dance that jig. Woo! I think we're all going to get that going. Hallelujah. Let's get happy. Body. Hallelujah.
Amen. Why don't you find somebody and shake their hand? Encourage them today. We're going to make it outside of here. Pray with them. We'll wrap your hand around their shoulder and love on them. How often do we need to be reminded of the hope? Amen. Every day I want to be reminded that this world is not my home. Amen. I'm just a passing through. I like old songs like that. Reminds me of what it's like to see the 12 foundations and the gates of the east and the west and the north of the south. Amen. And the sun that shines there. Amen. And I'm not talking about some ball of gas in the sky, but the Son of God who has shed, amen, his blood on Calvary. That's the light that shines. Amen. If you have any questions about whether or not God is going to come through, amen, just be reminded today that this world is not our home. Amen. Comfort one another with these words. Would you shake somebody's hand? Tell them how much you love them. Tell them, amen. Ask them, are you ready to go? Because if not, you don't have to leave today without being ready. Amen. God can do it in a heartbeat. Amen. Would you clap your hands? Amen. And give love unto God today. Lord, we love you. God, we thank you, Lord Jesus. God, we thank you, Lord, that this is not the final destination, God. This is not our final resting place. Amen, amen, amen. Amen. Greet somebody. Love them. Hug their neck. Tell them how good it is to see them in the house of God. Don't forget about our announcements. Don't forget next week we'll have an evangelist. Amen. Jeremy Moore and his wife with us. I'm asking you to go home and pray about, amen, next weekend. Who can you invite? If we're going to have somebody who specifically specializes in reaching those that need God, I'm asking you to go home, pray. Ask God this week, who can I bring with me? Who's in the position to be touched by God? And watch God do something crazy next weekend. Amen. Anybody looking forward to God adding to the church? Amen. Amen. We love you. God bless you. Thank you, Pastor Phil. We love you. Have a great time. You're in good hands. Amen. Here at Community Life Center. God bless you. We'll see you Wednesday night.